Certainly is good to see you this morning. Say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. We hopefully appreciate our mothers every day and what they do for our kids, what our mothers do for us, for those who are still here, and for those who have passed on, as you remember them, if that's your case. But we certainly are appreciative of mothers, and our subject today, biblical patience, I think is something that most mothers are very good at, and they have to be with what all they are put through in an everyday life, having children and putting up with various things and putting up with husbands. Fathers having to deal with that, they have to learn to be patient. And so we're going to talk some about patience this morning. But I think at one time or another, probably all of us have said, I should be more patient. You know, we may think that we should have been more patient in a certain situation that we have been in. Maybe we have said something to someone that we later regretted. And we think later, I shouldn't have said that. I should have been more patient with that person. Or maybe we were not patient enough when it came to making a big life decision. There's something that we quickly decided to do, but then we thought back later and said, I shouldn't have done that. I should have done it a different way. But patience is something that the scriptures talk about throughout, and it's certainly one of the Christian virtues that we are to have. Peter talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1 as far as something that we are to add to our faith. Various things we are to add to our faith. But he says that we are to add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, which is another word for patience. And it's also part of the fruit of the Spirit that's given in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Love, joy, peace, patience is something that we have to learn. And we have to be, as Christians, patient individuals. But these passages, as well as others, show us that God requires us to develop our patience as we live. Because we're not just going to have it all of a sudden. It's not something that we're just going to be born with and we're going to have perfectly throughout our life. It's something that we're going to have to work at. It's something that we grow into. And we get better at each and every day. So what we're going to do in talking about biblical patience today is we're going to, first of all, seek to comprehend what the true meaning of patience is. And there's actually two words for patience in the New Testament that we're going to be talking about each one. Each one of them means different things. The second thing, we're going to ask and answer some important questions about patience in order to have a better understanding of it. But this is all to help us to develop the kind of patience we should have according to Scripture and according to both of these words that in the Greek are different words and that are translated patience into our New Testaments. The first word that we're going to talk about is the word hupomene. Hupomene means to abide under. It is a steadfastness, a perseverance, or an endurance. And we saw that word when we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1. Vine defines it as that quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It's the opposite of despondency, and it is associated with hope. Some verses of hupomene. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, patience of hope. Romans 12 and verse 12, patient in tribulation. Romans 2 and verse 7, patient continuance in doing good. Luke 8 and verse 15, bear fruit with patience. And Hebrews 12 and verse 1, let us run with endurance. Now, in talking about this word, thinking about this word, to abide under or a perseverance, it is usually connected with trials and tribulations. So as we are going through life and we have struggles, we have a trial over here, we have much tribulation at some point in our life, then we are going to endure through it. We're going to persevere. That's the idea of this first word in regard to patience. The second word that is often used is macrothumia. Macrothumia means long-tempered. It involves forbearance, long-suffering, or tolerance. Vine defines it as that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is opposite of anger and is associated with mercy. Now, this definition and this word is more in line with our English definition. Webster defines it as to calmly tolerate delay, frustration, or confusion. So in other words, when you think of macrothumia, it is long-suffering, being long-suffering with something or with someone, that you don't lose your patience with an individual. We'll talk about later, you don't lose your patience with your spouse, you don't lose your patience with your children, you stay patient. Some verses with this one, 1 Peter 3 and verse 20 talks about the divine long-suffering. And of course we know that God is being long-suffering with us even to this day. The world still exists despite all of the sin that is in the world. He is allowing it to continue, the divine long-suffering. Another verse in regard to that is 2 Peter 3 and verse 2. In talking about the Lord, it says He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the idea of this word, long-suffering. Ephesians 4 and verse 2 says that we are to walk with long-suffering. So as we live our everyday lives, we're supposed to be long-suffering with individuals. We're supposed to bear with them, to deal with them, to not lose our patience with people. And again, this is all easier said than done, and it is something that has to be learned and something that has to be developed and not something that is just going to automatically appear. Colossians 3 and verse 2, or verse 12, I mean, Colossians 3 and verse 12 says that we are to put on, so we put on the garments, we put on long-suffering as one of those. So as we look at these two terms and we see the difference between them, one is we're to persevere or endure through our trials, through our tribulations, through our lives. We press on, we don't quit is the idea. And then the second word is that we're going to be long-suffering, we're going to be tolerant. Tolerate individuals, being long-suffering with them, and certainly expect the same of others to us, where they bear with us, they're long-suffering with us, and tolerate us. This is the idea of these words. Now, when you look at a couple of verses that use both words in the same verse or in the same few verses. The first one is in 2 Corinthians 6, and we'll turn to these. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and look with me at verses 4 through 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 4, it says, "But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering. So it's not translated patient the second time, it's translated long suffering, which of course is macrothumia. The first word, patience, is hupomene. So you are both to be long suffering and you are to endure through trials and tribulations, to persevere or to endure. That passage talks about both of them. Colossians 1 and verse 11. Also, both of these words are used. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, and this is where Paul says he prays for the Colossians. He's thankful to God for the Colossians. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience, that's hupomene, and long suffering, that's macrothumia, with joy. So both words are used in that verse as well. So as we go through the lesson this morning, we're going to look at both of them. We're going to look at us bearing with one another, being long suffering with one another, and we're going to look at us enduring and pressing on and not quitting in our Christian lives. So the first thing we're going to do in that is we're going to look at this question: why do we need patience? And I think, first of all, before we get into any more detail of it, we can just simply understand that the definitions tell us why we need patience. You look at the first word, hupomene, we must press on during trials and afflictions in order to receive the promise. So if we're going to get to heaven, then we're going to have to face these trials and tribulations, which are going to help mold us and get us to where we need to be. We look at what the Hebrew writer says in regard to that. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. And notice how much importance he puts on this: pressing on, not quitting, keeping on going. Beginning in verse 11, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now, it's easy for a Christian to become sluggish. It's easy for a Christian to get tired, to say, "I can't go anymore. I can't continue to be different than everyone else. This is just stressing me out. It's too difficult." And yet the Hebrew writer is encouraging his audience that we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to be full of assurance of hope, and then not to become sluggish, verse 12 says. Look at the importance of that, how important it is for us to keep our heads up, stay faithful. And that's what Hebrews 10 really gets into in verse 36. Hebrews 10 and verse 36, which I like to use Hebrews 10:36 to show at the end of the lesson how we have to endure, we have to press on after we become Christians. We've repented of our sins, we've confessed Christ, we've been baptized for the remission of our sins. Now we endure, now we press on. Verse 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." After you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. This is an ongoing thing. This is you become a Christian and then you live the life, as we talked about in class. Verse 37, For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. There's that phrase, which we've talked about a lot recently. But if anyone draws back, my son has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We're not going backwards. We're not drawing back. We're going forward. We are enduring. We are pressing on. That's the idea of hypomene. And it doesn't matter if trials come up. It doesn't matter if afflictions come up. It doesn't matter if someone's trying their best to hold you back, to keep you from moving forward. You're going to move forward anyway. That's the point of that word. Within the second word, again, macrothumia, the definition tells us why we need to have that in our lives, why we need that kind of patience. We have to be long-suffering with others. And the verse on your screen, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, be patient with all. Now, you and I live every day in this world, and we know that that is not an easy task. Be patient with all. What about the ones that don't like you? Be patient with all. What about the ones that rub you the wrong way? Be patient with all. What about the ones that you have absolutely nothing in common with and it's hard to even have a conversation with? Be patient with all. And that's something we work at. And we get better at, hopefully, each and every day. And we'll get into a little more detail of that as we continue as far as why we need patience. But I want to suggest to you that we need patience because life is going to be miserable without it. Life is going to be miserable if we are not able to bear with someone, if we're not able to press on through trials and tribulations. Both would be included in that. But when it comes to hypomene, we need patience so that we are able to endure through trials and through tribulations, to press on. Now, when we quit something, if you decide you're going to quit whatever it is you might be doing, oftentimes it makes you feel miserable. It makes you feel bad about quitting. You have started something. Maybe you've started a project. Maybe you've started doing something as a family. And then you quit. And then you start thinking, well, why did we quit that? Why have we decided to stop fulfilling this project? Or why have we stopped doing this as a family? And we start thinking about it and we feel guilty about it. Well, that certainly applies to a Christian who has started the walk, started the journey, and then they decide they're going to quit. They're going to fall away from the Lord. Hopefully, the goal is, certainly, that they will feel miserable because they have stopped the walk. Because they've decided to stop living as a Christian. Hopefully, they feel such a way that they are sorrowful about it. And it's upsetting to them, and that leads them to come back. And maybe it causes them to start thinking about the judgment day and facing God in judgment. Who wants to live that way? Where we feel really bad about ourselves because we quit something. And certainly when we know our souls are at stake. Life can be miserable, as we say, if we are not willing to bear up during trials, if we allow them to wear us down and to quit. And then the other word too, I'll leave it here on this screen. But as far as physically, not being able to deal with things in our lives can cause physical problems. It can cause ulcers. It can cause high blood pressure. It can cause headaches. When we let life overcome us and we don't persevere through, we don't bear up under the trials, then life can be miserable. Now we'll go to the other word and we'll make another point. We need patience because we need it in our homes, and we go to macrothumia. Being long-suffering with one another in our homes. So that would be the husband being long-suffering with his wife. That would be the wife being long-suffering with her husband. And that would be both husband and wife, mother and father, being long-suffering with their children. All of that applies. The fact is, we have roles to play in our homes. And if we're going to fulfill those roles in a godly manner, we have to be long-suffering. If a wife is going to submit to her husband properly, then she has to be long-suffering with her husband. She has to realize that her husband's not perfect, that her husband makes mistakes, that her husband doesn't do everything exactly right all the time, and she has to be long-suffering with him. If a husband is going to love his wife the way that he is commanded to love his wife, unconditionally, no matter what, putting her first in every way, then the husband has to be long-suffering with his wife, realizing that she's not going to do everything perfectly either, that she's going to make mistakes, that she is not Wonder Woman that will be able to fix everything exactly like we want it to be. If a parent is going to be long-suffering with their children, parents have to realize that they're only children and they're going to mess up. Parents have to realize that they will make mistakes and will make a lot of mistakes. And we have to be there to help them through it and help them to deal with it and help teach them better of it. And yes, discipline is certainly necessary from time to time. Discipline is something that the Bible teaches that needs to be done. But I'll tell you what, when parents lose their patience, it oftentimes leads to more than just discipline. It leads to abuse. And that's a big problem in the world when it comes to parents with children. They lose their temper, they lose their patience, and they hurt their kids. And it's so important for parents to be able to balance that. How are we going to discipline our children? How are we going to raise our children right and do so in a loving manner, but do so in a firm manner, but then do so without losing our patience, with always being under control as we deal with our kids? So long-suffering is important in every stage of that. Husband and wife, mother and father to children. It's all important. We have to learn to be long-suffering with one another. We need to be long-suffering to keep ourselves from griping and complaining. You think about, and even in the relationships that we've talked about, but we can go back to the other word. We'll go back to Hupomene for now and talk about that just a minute. When we have trials and tribulations and problems, we have to keep ourselves from griping and complaining when we have those things come up in our lives. When everything doesn't go exactly like we want it to, are we going to gripe about it? Are we going to gripe to our spouses about it? Are we going to gripe to our preacher about it? Are we going to gripe to one another as brethren about it? Are we going to call our best friend and just complain and complain and complain about all these problems that we have? We have to have patience so that we don't start griping and complaining. And the verse on the screen, James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, the passage, James 5, verses 7 through 9, says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Do not grumble among one another. Well, that's easy to do, and it, not just with brethren, where we grumble to each other about, you know, spiritual issues and problems. But it is true in our everyday lives as we deal with one another, as we deal with our families, as we deal with our colleagues at work, that we just gripe and complain. Nobody wants to hear someone griping and complaining constantly. And so that's why we have to bear up under these trials, deal with them, and press on. What is the prayer that some call the serenity prayer? What's it say? "Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." That will go a long way in helping us to keep from this, keep from griping and complaining about issues. And this, we should know that no amount of griping or complaining is going to fix anything. No, we can carry on and go on and on and on complaining, but it's not going to solve any problems whatsoever. So we have to keep that in mind and keep our patience. And then finally, in regard to the reason we need, reasons we need patience, is we need it to become complete. And what I mean by that is we need it to be mature, to become a mature child of God. James 1, verses 2 through 4, this is exactly what he says here. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now that's where we want to be. We want to be perfect and complete. We want to, and again, we're not going to do everything exactly as we should, and on every occasion we're going to sin, but we are growing, we are getting better, and as we suffer these trials and tribulations, it is helping us to get a step closer to who we need to be, to develop ourselves into the kind of character that is reserved for heaven. The ones who will be there are going to be of a certain character, of a certain mind, and we're striving to get there, and we are going through these things on earth, these struggles, these issues, these problems, to become complete, to become a mature Christian. If we become a Christian and then we don't have to face any struggles at all and we just sail through life, then we're not growing, we're not getting stronger, we're not being pressed into, molded into the kind of individual we should be. And when we face trials, it helps us to get there. All right, so how is it that we gain patience then? And we'll mention a few things here. The first one is we have to realize we're not going to just all of a sudden have patience by ourselves. It's going to take God's help. Now, here's the problem with that. When we say through God's help, and you can look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11 as we talk about this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, as we talk about having God's help, and this is a verse we read earlier, but we'll look at it again. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. The problem with that is that people will sit back and say, okay, God, give me patience. Hit me with it. Help me. Give me the ability to bear through trials. Help me to be able to put up with this spouse of mine. Just put it in my heart. Make me exactly who I need to be. And yet, God doesn't work that way, does He? God's not just going to, for lack of a better term, snap His fingers and give you patience. He's going to allow you to face these trials that we were talking about. He's going to allow you to work through these problems that you have to get to where you need to be. And when we look at Christ and the way that He endured, especially when He was going to the cross and on the cross, that's our perfect example of what being a patient individual is. 1 Peter 2, verses 20 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults and take patiently, but when you do good and suffer if you take it patiently? For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. What an example that is for us. As He lived that way, we look at His life and we mold ourselves after Him. We follow His way. Then we learn patience. We develop patience. And yet it takes a diligent effort on our part. When Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 what we are to add to our faith. Again, he's not saying you add this to your faith because, boom, I'm just going to give it all to you and you're going to have it all of a sudden, miraculously. No, you're going to work at it and you're going to grow in all of these things. How are you going to become a virtuous individual? How are you going to gain knowledge? How are you going to have self-control? How are you going to have perseverance, godliness, true brotherly kindness, and the kind of love that God expects us to have? How are we going to develop that? Well, a half-hearted effort won't work. Putting our all into it is what's going to get us to that point. And what will encourage us in this is that we remember the reward that will come from that. Because if we do press on, if we continue despite the trials, despite the problems, the issues that come up in our lives, we can look forward to ultimately wonderful blessings in heaven. Now, certainly we can have blessings on this earth too, and it's all about attitude. How are we going to look at our lives? Are we going to look at it as depressing and be down and depressed all the time? Or are we going to truly look at our blessings, count our blessings, be thankful for our lives, be thankful for our spouses, be thankful for our children, be thankful for the things in this life that might cause headaches and problems. Or are we going to look at them as being hindrances and as things that hold us back? It's all about attitude. So certainly in this life we can have blessings if we remember the rewards. But then ultimately again in heaven. And we'll look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. Romans chapter 8 and verse 25, which says, "But if we hope for what we do not see." Now that's faith. We haven't seen heaven. We haven't seen ultimate glory. But we hope in it. So if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it. How? With perseverance. With perseverance. And there's that word that we've been talking about. Are we remembering that reward? Are we willing to persevere in order to gain that reward? And then finally, we gain patience through meditating on all of the good things in life. Look with me in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, we don't let the bad things drag us down. Instead, we look at the good and concentrate on that. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." He goes on in verse 9 and says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do." There's Christ as our example. But what we do is we meditate on the good. Meditate on the blessings. Meditate on those things that are lovely. And then back up in verses 6 through 7, "Be anxious for nothing." Again, persevere, press on, endure. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Remember that. Remember that we should be anxious for nothing. Whatever struggles you have, be anxious for nothing. Because the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's how we gain patience. And we have to. Let's bear through trials. And let's be long-suffering with one another. And let's work together to get to where we want to be, which is heaven. Have you become a child of God? Have you obeyed God's law? God's commanded that we be patient, but He's commanded us to be many other things and to do what is necessary to get to heaven. We must never forget the reward and patiently endure for it. But we must be obedient to God in order to receive the reward. Have you done that? Have you repented of your sins? Have you changed your mind about sin? Said, "I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to live that life anymore. I want to change." That's what repentance is. Have you made a confession that you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And have you been baptized in water for the remission of your sins? If you need to do that, we hope that you will today. If you're already a child of God, have sin in your life, you haven't been patiently enduring through, we want you to repent and pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. If we can assist you in any of that this morning, come now while we stand and while we sing. Hear the sweet